under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Riverside at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day on this broadcast. As we look forward to your call-in, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Right after a brief monologue, we have a special guest we're going to introduce this morning as we talk about some of the local races, especially the school board races that's taking place in Duval and St. John's County. We'll be talking about the need to vote, the recognition, ladies and gentlemen, that facing our critical, in fact, we're facing perhaps the most critical election in my lifetime. Now, I've said that several times about elections in the past 20 years in particular, but ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're facing an election this cycle that will make the difference in the determination of what direction and what the destiny of the United States of America will be. Socialism, Marxism, all of these terms that we see now, I've been using for years and years and years about some of the national and statewide leaders that are running for office. We call them leaders, and sometimes I question that terminology, but those that are elected to carry out our wishes, perhaps I should say. And we're calling, I'm noticing now, some of the national talking heads, some of the people on some of the major, what you would call moderate to conservative networks, are now talking about those that are socialist and Marxist. Ladies and gentlemen, socialism and Marxism is just communism light, L-I-T-E. And the latest we know and we've heard about, for example, the Harris Waltz, that is Governor Tim Waltz, their socialist agenda, it should cause every Christian, every conservative, every American patriot to vote. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing, we're watching the attempt to literally overthrow and destroy the constitutional republic with a representative form of government that we have in the United States of America. As we have witnessed the far left, absolute socialist that Kamala Harris has chosen as her running mate, it should cause all of us to sit up and take notice and recognize that we're in a nosedive in America, politically speaking. It should cause us to recognize that our local election that's coming up just in the next few days in the primary, and then the nationwide election that's coming up on November the 5th, should be viewed as imperative that we participate in this voting cycle. And as we face the issues and we talk about these issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples said this, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made in relationship to the Scriptures, the Word of God. The Scripture says in John 17:17, "Thy Word is truth." Then in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." You ask the question, I've had that question asked, how long is forever? It's forever, without an end. Ladies and gentlemen, truth matters. Whether you realize it or not, whether you agree with it or not, or whether you accept it or not, truth matters. Go back to the secularist George Orwell. in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said, by the way, that was printed and published back in the late 40s, and he projected what America would be like by 1984. And he said, and I quote, "The further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who listen, who speak it." We see that happening today. We see it happening politically. We're seeing right now some of the things that President Trump and his team have been saying for some time. We're finding now that the socialist Marxist media and those on the left with Kamala Harris and others are advocating, at least in word, some of those same things. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you, in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouths and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men." Verse 14, he says, "For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Verse 15 of Isaiah 29 says, "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide the counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us?" Ladies and gentlemen, there's a mindset today that in the political realm, God's blind, God's deaf, God's on vacation, or God's asleep, or God's dead, whatever it may be. There's a mindset that we do not need to stick to truth. In fact, the latest survey says that 55% of the younger Americans, I'm looking at the headline, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, that number is 55% of the 18 to 35-year-old age group in America that disallow, and deny the absolute truth. Their statement is that each person determines their own version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Now listen very carefully. I've quoted from this man thousands of times. Does not mean that I agree with all of his doctrine and all of his theology, but this he did say correctly. And by the way, as he was being burned at the stake, he said, "Truth shall prevail." But way prior to that, his mantra was this: "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't bifurcate truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. And yet we find those that are stumping for election and campaigns across America that will make a statement, whatever they feel the audience will embrace, to ingratiate themselves to that audience. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with a homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a belt benchmark. There's 165-foot flagpole flooring. Atop of that flagpole is the U.S. flag Old Glory, flooring 24/7. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me take a few more moments and a brief elongated monologue to get to the point with the introduction of our guest today, a lady that's running for one of the school board seats in St. John's County. We'll introduce her in just a moment, ask her to share with us some information about the race, what she's doing, why she's doing it, and what is the end result from her perspective. But ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. I just make the statement, rain, sleet, snow, pandemic, hurricane, whatever, must not prevent us from voting this election cycle. And I'm talking about this election in the primary on a local level coming up just in the next few days. Listen, God has provided America with a constitutional republic, with a representative form of government. And just a brief overview before we get into the meat of the subject with our interview today, I believe it's incumbent upon us to know exactly how wide, how deep the garbage flows in the sewer that's called the Harris-Waltz, that's W-E-L-T-Z, Harris-Waltz campaign that's just getting underway. We have found in this race for the White House, the horse, if you please, has been changed in the midst of the election. We've got about 90 days to go in the election, and they have changed horses. And I, by the way, I'm thankful. I said for almost 4 years that Joe Biden would not be the candidate, and he's not. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe we've jumped out of the, if you please, jumped out of the hog pen right into the slop in the presidential race. We've jumped right out of what looked like a bad scenario with Joe Biden to even a worse condition with Kamala Harris. Cackling Kamala, I've called her. Let me just give you an overview of Governor Tim Walz's background, history, and what he's doing, and then we'll introduce our guest today. Walz is a proud, in-your-face socialist. Governor Walz loves China. He's traveled to China for some 30-plus times. He brags about the Chinese form of government. Walz is for abortion, right up to and including birth. In fact, according to the Minnesota health records, about 8 or 9 failed abortions with live births, and the babies were left to die. Did you hear what I said? He believes abortion should be the right of any human being from conception right up to birth, and including the birth. Tim Walz praised the BLM riots back in 2020 when they were burning Minneapolis to the ground. He refused to call in the National Guard. Those few that were put in jail, Kamala Harris, VP Kamala Harris, had set up a fund of millions of dollars to pay cash bails to get the BLM protesters out of jail. In fact, Tim Walz praised the protesters. He called them, he calls multitudes today, the New Americans, those that are the illegal invaders. For the BLM protesters, he said they had the right to protest and said it was, for the most part, friendly riots, a friendly protest. Walz praised the BLM riots when they burned down Minneapolis to the ground. He refused to call in the National Guard. Tim Walz forced his state to lock down during the pandemic. In fact, people were locked in their homes and by executive order of Tim Walz could not leave their homes. They had to wear the mask in their homes, and he had, by executive order, set up a snitch system so that any human being, any neighbor, any relative, any friend that could see their neighbors walking out of the house without a mask on or leaving the house without authorization or an emergency, that snitch system was set up so that they could be caught and fined and in some cases put in jail for disobeying the executive order of Governor Walz. Walz forced the state lockdown for his families in the state of Minnesota. Tim Walz, by executive orders and laws, pushed the approval of and allows transsexual surgeries, cutting off healthy body parts for little boys and little girls without parental consent. He said the state has the authority over those kids, not the parents. Kamala's vice president pick, Tim Walz, fully embraces boys and girls in the locker room, shower rooms, and bathrooms, boys going into those rooms. He says that's all right. That should be their prerogative and privilege. Under Governor Tim Walz, his leadership, children are not considered a protective class. However, under Governor Tim Walz, pedophilia and the pedophiles are now considered a protective class. You hear me? I don't think we could have expected or anticipated what we're seeing today in the Harris-Walz campaign for President, Vice President of the United States of America. Walz is anti-Second Amendment. Walz established a telephone hotline for neighbors to report on neighbors for not wearing the mask, as I said a moment ago. Walz provides a driver's license for all new Americans, as he calls them. Walz calls the new Americans, he's calling the illegal invaders new Americans. Under the Walz leadership of governance, Minnesota set up a hotline for reporting hate speech. So he asked the question, what is hate speech? Anything that's said antithetical to the Islamic jihadist. It's hate speech in Minneapolis and in Minnesota. Ladies and gentlemen, Minnesota now has a new flag. It's copying the Islamic Nigerian flag. It is a fact that Tim Walz hates America. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just the national presidential and congressional elections that we should be concerned about. It's not just the national or state elections that we should be concerned about. We have local elections, state offices. Listen, conservatives must vet our candidates and elect only those who will carry out the wishes of we, the people. Today, ladies and gentlemen, it's my delight to introduce to you Dr. Linda Thompson. Dr. Thompson is a conservative candidate for St. John's County School Board. She's with us today, and I'm thankful. Dr. Thompson, welcome. Thank you for taking time out of a busy schedule of campaigning to discuss your campaign with us on the air today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's my pleasure to be there, an honor. Just listening to your monologue, it really highlights the importance of elections and voting and the choices that we make from the school board all the way to the presidency. So thank you for inviting me.
I am delighted to have you today, and I'm thankful for candidates that I can openly endorse and recommend because of the conservative stand that is taken. Dr. Thompson, take a few moments. Some of the listeners had not heard you before, so let's do this. Let's just play pretend. Let's pretend that everybody listening has never heard of Linda Thompson. Tell us something about yourself. Tell us something about your background. Tell us something about your credentials, and tell us something about what you're doing today, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty of your race.
Well, that would be awesome. Thank you for asking. That's a good question and a good lead-in. I will tell you that everybody that's listening to this broadcast should be voting in the next week or two, because that's when the primaries are. And early voting is August 10th to the 17th. And I'm hoping that lots of people will be turning out and voting for these important offices. For me specifically, people ask me, why am I running for school board, which is a good question. After 41 years in education, I've been a high school math teacher for about 20 years, and then I became an assistant principal and then a principal in Fairfax County, Virginia. But I was from Duval County, and when Meese High School had an opening in St. John's County, Dr. Joyner asked me to come and be the leader of that awesome school, and I was that. I totally enjoyed my time at Meese. I will tell you that my claim to fame, I guess, was that I was Tim Tebow's principal, and I have to tell you that there's not a better Christian. That young man was able to maintain his values when everyone else was distracted by other things. And truly, the person that you think he is who he truly is. That is him. He would work out with the team, practice with the team, but on Friday night after the game, he went home with mom and dad. And I was worried when he went to Florida. I thought, my gosh, how is he going to survive that environment? But he did, and he has maintained his values. So it just shows you the power of faith and family and God to keep us where we're supposed to be. But to go back to my background rather than Tim's, I will tell you that my concern in running for the school board is because I have such a background in education, I'm actually qualified to be a school superintendent, but I'm not interested in that. I'm not looking for a job. But the people on my school board right now, there are five people, and not any of them has ever actually worked in a classroom trying to teach children anything. And that's why I'm running, is I think the school board actually needs my help. They need somebody on the board who has been there and done that in the trenches and understands that we need to get back to basically reading and writing and arithmetic. When when the parents put their kids on the school bus in the morning, they don't send them off hoping that they'll learn sex education and critical race theory. They are sending them to school to learn to read and write and be able to move to the next level. And that's really, I think, the basics that we need to get back to. And that's why I'm going to run for the school, or why I am running for the school board, is so that I can help the school board to make those good decisions for kids and parents.
Linda, let me ask you a question, if I may.
Sure.
And I'm an educator. I like education. I've been involved in Christian education for about 60 years now. We have the privilege of having Conservative Theological University. I'm an educational freak. I believe that individuals need to get all the education they can, but that's not the end game. But I'd love for you to share with our listeners some of your academic credentials, that not only because of your leadership in the past and your familiarity with the classroom, but credentially, tell our listeners about your credentials and your background in that realm.
Okay, I'd be glad to do that. As I mentioned, grew up in Duval County and went to Jacksonville University, where I majored in math, and I became a math teacher, and I taught for more than 20 years until my own children were out of high school and off to college, and then I had more time to put into my career. But I will tell you that during that time, before they left for college, I managed to get a master's degree in counseling in New Jersey, and I also got a doctorate in administration and supervision in the University of Houston in Texas. And that's why I was saying I was actually qualified. I have the credentials to be a school superintendent, but I have not ever pursued that. I'm more interested in making a difference with the decisions that the school boards make and how I help the kids and the parents with curriculum and that type of learning. And I've spent now 41 years doing all of that, growing in my leadership from being a classroom teacher to a principal to then a district where I ran the curriculum for all of St. John's County. So I've done a lot with curriculum, and I know where we need to be. And that's why I'm running. Like I said, I think the school board actually needs my help.
Let me make a transition for a moment.
Okay.
In the mix of all that we talk about education in the classroom setting. To what degree, greater or lesser degree, do you feel that the parental involvement ought to be? Should parents have the right to say yes or no to what their child is taught in the classroom?
Well, parents, number one, when they choose to send their children to school in the morning, there's an expectation and a contract and an understanding there that we're going to be teaching what those kids are supposed to be learning, what's in the curriculum, what the state has said you should learn at third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. So parents expect that, and they're not expecting the extra things that actually should be coming from the home. They're not expecting, like I said, for their child to get sex education. That's not why they're sending them to school. They're expecting their child to learn and acquire the skills that they need. And that's actually what we're seeing more struggling with now is the basics of education. The reading, the writing, being able to address an envelope or write a three-paragraph essay, the things that we took for granted and honestly are no longer being emphasized. So parents expect that. Should they have a choice? I certainly think that parents, every parent, has a choice for their own child, that they can read appropriate books, and if a book is, by that parent's opinion, not appropriate, there should be an alternative assignment. I can tell you that when I was the principal at Nice, the International Baccalaureate Program had a number of books that had questionable parts in them. And I mentioned to my teachers at that time the expectation from parents, and if there was going to be something in that book that might be offensive or might not be something that a parent wants their child to read, then I asked the teacher to inform the parents in advance of that so that they weren't surprised, and then give an option. If that's not what you want, here's another alternative assignment or an alternative reading selection that would meet their needs. So, yes, I think parents definitely should be involved. They should know what their child is doing and know what's in those books and be able to discuss it with their children. I find it helpful to actually read the book as the child reads it, and then you can talk about it together. So there's a lot to being Yeah, lot to being a parent.
Yes, Dr. Thompson, as you know, the DOJ on the Merrick Garland 32-page document about a year and a half ago enforced through the FBI that if a parent were to confront the school board about the curriculum and or the material in the curriculum, primarily the LGBTQIP plus material that was being introduced in the classrooms, if the parent were to confront the school board and ask questions, they would be considered as domestic terrorists and treated accordingly. Your position on that. Pardon?
I remember that.
so succinctly, so that our listeners will understand, how do you view that? How would you respond to that? And what should be taught in the classroom? And linked with that, and I realize this is a three-part question, but how would you respond when today there are teachers in some counties in the state of Florida that are not adhering to the latest governmentally signed bill that says it's illegal for a teacher to teach anything about the LGBTQI plus or the CRT in the classroom? What are your position? What would your position be? How do you stand as a future school board member? Should that be discussed? Should that be openly removed? What should be the position of the school board members in relationship to that? If a school board superintendent, whatever county in the state of Florida, were to insist that be carried out, how would you respond? What do you recommend?
Well, certainly, first of all, I have to say, I was amazed when I learned that some of my neighbors might be domestic terrorists. when I learned the definition of what a domestic terrorist was, I think that that's been fortunately, at least in St. John's County, I don't feel that we're having that adversarial attitude with regard to parents and input from parents. I think St. John's County has a process by which you can appeal books and, you know, you first start at the school level and then it can progress to the school board. But there definitely should be input from parents, and that's not being a terrorist. That's actually being a good parent and paying attention to, paying attention to what's going on in your child's life and in your child's school and making sure that it's appropriate. With regard to what should be taught, we have standards at the state level here in Florida, and that's what should be taught. Certain skills that, with regard to reading and writing and math and science and social studies and the arts, certain things that we want our kids to leave school and be quote-unquote educated in. There are other things that are, to me, not the purview of the school. They're not in the curriculum standards. There's nothing there that says we should be doing diversity, equity, and inclusion or any of these other critical race theory or the LGBTQ, whatever. We definitely, that's not the meat of why we send our kids to school. And I think that there is some people who have an agenda beyond the standards of learning that we want our kids to master in order to be able to progress to the next level. Those are the things that, to me, are taught at home, discussed at home, in church, in a Christian group, or in a conservative group, wherever, whatever group you're in, beyond the school. But I don't see that as the essence of why we have schools. So when teachers decide on their own that they have a message that they want to get across, they're actually breaking the law when they do that.
Absolutely. When a teacher walks in the class with an agenda where they're going to do the brainwashing and indoctrination, that teacher needs to be eliminated from the classroom. Dr. Thompson, hold your thoughts for a moment. We're going to take the top of the hour news break. And ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston,